Hello everyone, Dr. Miles here, and this video is about dietary recommendations for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Now there are lots of diets that you're going to read about if you search a Google search for SIBO diet. Many people use a low FODMAP diet. That's because there is research, there are clinical trials, that show that low FODMAP diets can improve the symptom scores for irritable bowel syndrome. We know that SIBO is one of the main causes for irritable bowel syndrome, and so it would make sense that low FODMAP may be a solution or a helpful diet for small intestine bacterial overgrowth. As we go through this dietary section, I'm going to say that we do sometimes use some of these diets, and we sometimes don't use some of these diets. And there's some conflicting research, and there's some reasons to, in treating with antimicrobial herbs, maybe not even think too much about these diets. And if you are doing some of what we've discussed in the case review section around an elimination diet, there may not be need for further dietary change unless or until after SIBO treatment there's still persistent symptoms. So I'll talk a little bit more about that after we get through the specific diet. So low FODMAP is reducing certain kinds of, it analyzes foods for certain kinds of sugars in those foods, fructose, oligosaccharide, disaccharide, etc. And it's really not easily described without a specific list of which foods are higher in FODMAP and which foods are lower in FODMAP, because it is not a category-based, it's not something where you can just say avoid all grains and dairy and legumes. It's not like that. It's more specific foods. Some vegetables are high FODMAP, some vegetables are low FODMAP. Specific carbohydrate diet is similar. It's different in terms of which foods are avoided, but there are certain kinds of carbohydrates that are avoided. And this also has shown to be very useful with irritable bowel syndrome and SIBO in terms of reducing some of the symptom picture. Gut and psychology syndrome, or GAPS diet, is a variation on SCD diet, removing a little bit more foods, and it's intended to really trying to not feed many kinds of bacteria in a way that'll reset the gut microbiome, in particular around some psychological or mental emotional conditions or issues, since we know there's such a strong gut-brain connection. So GAPS is another diet that is sometimes used. There's what's called a SIBO biphasic diet, and this is similar with in the camp of low FODMAP SCD. It's kind of looking at foods that are fermentable, and it's putting people through some phases. There's autoimmune protocol, which this we talk about extensively in the elimination diet section, about how to do this, why we think it's so effective, but it is very restrictive. And so it's a dietary approach that's based on food categories. So you're cutting out grains, dairy, alcohol, sugar, you're cutting out legumes, eggs, beans, and also nightshade vegetables. So this one is kind of easy to, and nuts and seeds, it's kind of easy to remember because it's categorically based, but go to the elimination diet section for more details there. The Cedars-Sinai diet, so Cedars-Sinai is a clinic that treats a lot of SIBO, so that's one to look at for what they're doing related to SIBO, the specific foods that they've found that can be triggers, and the Elemental diet, which has very, the Elemental diet's the only one that has solid research on actually eliminating SIBO in a short period of time without any other antibiotic or antimicrobial. So in terms of a dietary approach, what we need to consider is, why are we using that dietary approach? Is it symptom reduction? Is it to eliminate SIBO? We also have to ask, are we doing a SIBO treatment at the same time? because there have been studies that have shown, one particular study showed an antibiotic rifaximin together with partially hydrolyzed guar gum, which is a prebiotic that feeds bacteria, performed better than rifaximin alone. And this has a lot of different opinions amongst practitioners as to why rifaximin plus partially hydrolyzed guar gum perform better than rifaximin alone. But there may be a part of the antimicrobial strategy that might benefit from having some FODMAP foods or some specific carbohydrate foods that do feed bacteria in the small intestine, because there's an idea that well-fed bacteria respond better to antimicrobial approaches than bacteria that are being starved of food, because bacteria that are being starved of food may exhibit more virulence mechanisms, may produce more biofilm, may have defense mechanisms of going into like a hiding type of a state where they're going to be less susceptible. We know from studies on biofilm that it takes a lot more antibiotic to get to bacteria behind biofilm than one not behind biofilm. And you can use biofilm disruptors with SIBO. There's not been a ton of data as to whether that increases effectiveness. It may a little bit. But there is a potential that completely starving bacteria may not be a good idea. So we generally, if we use SIBO-specific diet, which is a combination of low FODMAP and SCD, or if we use a low FODMAP diet, we'll often, when we're doing antimicrobials, give some partially hydrolyzed guar gum as a product, a fiber product. For example, FiberMend by Thorne has a lot of partially hydrolyzed guar gum in it, in order to make sure that bacteria is not completely starved. And because we know that particular prebiotic has shown effective together with rifaximin. So that's one way to get around this potential issue. Another way is to not do much with diet during antimicrobial treatment and then apply diet only afterwards as needed for symptom reduction if symptoms persist post-treatment. Now we have to sort out if post-treatment symptoms are persisting because we didn't completely eradicate the infection, in which case we may need another round of treatment. But if we've eradicated an overgrowth, there may be still some food intolerances to categories like FODMAPs or SCD. One of the people high up in the SIBO world who's treating a lot says he finds that a lot of people won't do well with beans, legumes, and any leafy green or vegetable that's not a root or a fruit of the vegetable. So there are lots of different ways to go about this, but if you go back to the elimination diet section and you pay attention to that, if you've already got someone on elimination diet, then you can not really do anything during SIBO treatment different than that elimination diet. You can do SIBO treatment and then you can start reintroducing and see what people tolerate as you do that reintroduction. And then you'll get a nice picture of that varied diet for that person. But if you're still having persistent symptoms, this is a great list to come to. If you're still having persistent symptoms post-SIBO treatment, post-elimination and reintroduction, then come take a look at low FODMAP, specific carbohydrate diet, SIBO-specific diet, GAPS, SIBO-biphasic diet, AIP, Cedars-Sinai diet, Elemental diet. These are ones that are really, really good. Now, this Elemental, so here's that study that was showing that the combination of rifaximin with partially hydrolyzed guar gum was more useful in eradicating SIBO. What this study did is it used glucose breath testing to evaluate SIBO. Now, we recommend lactulose versus glucose, but glucose is diagnostic, so they used it. 77 patients had SIBO. Eradication rates were 62.1% in rifaximin group and 87.1% in the rifaximin plus hydrolyzed guar gum group. So that's a pretty significant increase with adding partially hydrolyzed guar gum on top of rifaximin, which is the thinking behind why we're looking at not being too restrictive with diet while doing SIBO treatment, or if you're being restrictive with diet, maybe adding a prebiotic during antimicrobial treatment. Here is one that's looking at elemental diet as a treatment. So instead of antimicrobial approach, or if an antimicrobial approach was applied and ineffective, elemental diet is a valid and valuable independent treatment method for SIBO. And so here they applied an elemental diet to evaluate its effectiveness in clearing SIBO. And of 93 subjects, 80% of them had a normal lactulose breath test on day 15 of the elemental diet, meaning just about 2 weeks of the elemental diet was enough to clear small intestine bacterial overgrowth in 80% of people. When those who continued to day 21 were included, five additional patients normalized their breath test to make it 85%. So we had another 5%. So the remaining 20%, five of that 20% were able to clear SIBO through a third week on the elemental diet. So this is really significant. Really, obviously, that's even better than the rifaximin plus partially hydrolyzed guar gum. That's even better than the studies that have been done on herbal treatments for SIBO. So this is the best in terms of what I know of as a research-based treatment for small intestine bacterial overgrowth. But it's a little bit rough to do. It is all liquid, so people aren't eating anything. The fully elemental diet powder is pretty expensive to get all the calories someone needs. So if they're using a good quality one like Integrative Therapeutics, it might cost $700, $800, maybe $1,000. It depends on the calorie needs of the individual, whether they want to calorie restrict, whether you add some additional MCT oil, for example, on top of the powder in order to get some offset of calories and a little higher amount of fat. We'll sometimes do that in order to decrease the cost and increase the fat ratio in there. And sometimes we'll even combine elemental diet with a fasting-like diet. So if someone's going to go low calorie anyway for a week, we could do a week of their elemental diet at a low calorie count, and we could get the benefits of fasting-like diet for that week, and then we could bring their calories up the week after or the week before with elemental diet powder. We could save some money on that for the less powder that they'll need as a result of that, and increase the benefits that are congruent with the plan of doing the fasting-like diet, all the things that happen, like improved inflammatory markers, decreased cholesterol, decreased blood pressure, decreased fat, and improved body composition, decreased weight circumference, etc. So, elemental diet is powerful but difficult and expensive. There are some ways that people can do it a little cheaper. They can make what's called a semi-elemental diet at home, where instead of using amino acids, which are completely broken down, the idea behind elemental diet is it's completely broken down. The proteins are completely broken down into amino acids. The carbohydrate is super simple, and the fat is also going to be either completely broken down or digesting in the very upper part of the digestive tract, so that bacteria in the small intestine is starved, essentially. Now, this will not necessarily starve yeast, so it will not necessarily work for a fungal overgrowth, but it's very effective for a bacterial overgrowth. In fact, some people, while on elemental diet, may develop thrush and get a little bit of an oral yeast overgrowth. Their could be in some cases a good application to giving a little bit of an anti-yeast something while on the elemental diet, but it's not necessary because usually that rebalances pretty quickly post going off of the elemental diet. So we will give you a handout for homemade elemental diet. If you use the pre-made, for example, the Integrative Therapeutics, there's a calculator at integrativepro.com/calorie-calculator.aspx. That'll give you how many bags you need. Know that you can modify that by adding, for example, a couple of tablespoons of MCT oil in exchange for a couple hundred calories of what they need. So you could reduce their calorie need that way. And if you want to calorie restrict, you can reduce the calorie need that way as well. You want to have a caution about blood sugar because there are simple sugars in this. Some people drink these pretty fast and that can spike blood sugar. Better to instruct people to drink their meal slowly over about 15, 20 minutes time so that they don't get such a strong blood sugar spike. And better also to choose one that has a little higher protein fat ratio, lower carb ratio in people who have blood sugar that is typically elevated, and or add some MCT oil in exchange for some calories so that you're upping the fat ratio that way. Integrative Therapeutics has a dextrose-free version that's a little higher in protein, lower in carbohydrate. So we generally recommend using the dextrose-free version in most cases, but the lower protein is more applicable and helpful in the case of if we're combining it with a fasting-like diet. So if you're going to do 5 or 7 days super low calorie for a fasting-like diet, I'd recommend using the dextrose version together with some MCT oil, and you can do the low calorie count, the about 1,000 calories the first day and then 700 or so calories days 2 through 5 with low protein that way. Then you can use the dextrose free version for the other week, which will be the regular calorie count that that person needs, or a slight reduced calorie count for a small amount of weight loss if you're doing that for people. So know that elemental diet can be difficult to do, but very effective. And if a round of herbal or two rounds of herbals or a round of herbal and a round of antibiotics doesn't do the trick for SIBO, which happens in some cases, it's great to have elemental diet as a very effective way for people to use for stubborn cases of small intestine bacterial overgrowth. So typically, as a recap on dietary stuff, if you're going to do an elimination diet in the beginning with people and they're already eliminated when you start SIBO treatment, you may, if it's eliminating a lot of the foods that feed SIBO like FODMAP and or SCD, if you chose one of those for an elimination diet, then you may want to add some partially hydrolyzed guar gum together with antimicrobials if you're using them. You may want to consider elimination diet in certain cases, the elemental diet in certain cases. And then you may want to, in other cases, not use a dietary intervention during SIBO treatment at all, or just use whatever you think would be a good diet for that person, not trying to do a diet for SIBO until after treatment if there are persistent symptoms. And in that case, then applying a dietary approach. So I hope this has been really helpful. I know there's a lot of info on diets out there. It can be really confusing. So know that you don't need to get too specific on diet. You can be very successful with SIBO treatment without diet, but have diet as tools, especially for recurrent symptoms afterwards and as a treatment option in the case of elemental diet. Thank you for watching and have a healthy and happy day.